From deleted text messages to troubling emails revealing a potential power move to undermine the role of other co-equal commissioners, Marissa Gillette, the chairwoman of PURA, has been at the center of controversy for at least the last year, and she recently announced that she is resigning, effective October 10th. In her letter to Governor Lamont, which was released last week, it outlines not only her accomplishments she feels she has had as chairwoman, but she also mentions the toll that has been taken on her, her family, and her team, and just the emotional roller coaster that she has been on and the attacks she has gone through, which led to her not so easy decision to resign. Interestingly enough, the most recent piece of controversy came to light last week when we learned that some of those emails actually surfaced. And there was a call specifically from House Republican leaders to look at this and whether she lied under oath and if she should remain in this role. And we had actually called out to Representative Candelora to come on the show to talk about this when we then learned she resigned from her seat. So welcome back to the show, Representative Candelora. What are your thoughts surrounding all of this that's transpired in the last few days?
Yeah, I mean, I think my first thought is it didn't need to happen. You know, had Chairman Gillette just been forthcoming in the beginning, we wouldn't have seen this sort of spiral the way it did. And I think sometimes, you know, the cover-up is worse than the crime, and I think that was the situation that went on here.
So there's, you know, it's confusing. I got to be honest with you, Representative Candelora, yeah, because you've got a, you know, PURA, I think, is in a spot where they need to hold feet to the fire, essentially, right? You know, we're dealing with a real issue with our electric bills, specifically, I would say, if you're an Eversource or UI customer. And so there's a lot of, I'd say, pressure on PURA to make things right or to help the average customer to bring the bills down. Okay. But it seems like in the last year, Marissa Gillette has really been the one with a target. And I'm not saying that everything has been done well by her, but I think there are things that confuse me. For example, my understanding is the entire PURA board is not filled. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about more of the brokenness, not just Marissa Gillette, but the brokenness of PURA.
Yeah, that's been my biggest criticism, frankly, even more so than Chairman Gillette, is the fact that Governor Lamont has not appointed all the commissioners. So we only had Gillette and Arconti being the two appointed commissioners serving on PURA. Mike Caron, who's also a commissioner, is serving at the pleasure of the governor. And then the other two positions the governor has kept vacant for 6 years.
Yeah, why?
And my point to him was, He said point blank he didn't want to dilute the chairman's power. And
what?
That's not how it works, exactly. I mean, that was his position. He wanted to keep the power concentrated with the chairman. And that's where the problem became, because it's not statutorily constructed where the chairman has more power than everybody else. And I think that was sort of why the lawsuits were brought and why ultimately Chairman Gillette ended up resigning, because the structure of it was never functioning the way it needed to.
So, I mean, dare I say, Representative Candelora, it does seem like she was sort of, I'm not going to call it scapegoated, but it seems like when you're supposed to be the chair of a board and we're not even giving, you know, we're not even filling all the roles of it, it seems like it was then tailored for her to become, I'm going to call her, quote unquote, the bad guy, when really that almost doesn't seem fair. So like, even if even if you replaced her with somebody else, the way that her role is structured right now, I think no one's going to succeed in that role if it's structured the way that you're talking about.
Well, that makes it more difficult, but she sort of added gasoline to the fire because she allowed for that structure to be centralized around her. And when people questioned it, she denied it. So that's where my accusation came in, that I think she lied to the commission, because what I was told is she was withholding staff from the other commissioners. And so they weren't able to do their job. So that was sort of, I think, where her, missteps came in. And then she wasn't forthcoming. She was not producing documents. She had deleted emails or deleted text messages. The emails didn't exist, and then all of a sudden they existed. So there was sort of, like I said, the cover-up was worse than the crime. There was some misleading behavior. I think what we're going to see is that op-ed that was controversial, that was supposedly penned by Representative Steinberg and Senator Needleman, was actually written by her, which is wholly inappropriate. She needs to be impartial. So there were things that she did and missteps that she made, but the governor was not helping her. You know, I had many conversations with him. You need to put in the full complement. You need to balance it. You needed somebody on there that was really going to, you know, push back on her so that the power could be spread out. And the governor just wasn't having it. And he sort of allowed this whole system to fail ultimately.
Well, and I think that's got to be one of the biggest takeaways from this. And again, we have Representative Vince Candelora here talking about this. And I know that you had recently also proposed legislation guaranteeing that all PIRA commissioners equal access to staff experts. But I think even a step further, like you and I had talked about, Representative Candelora, the importance of actually filling the entire PIRA. Like, to me, I am surprised that there's not strong bipartisan, like it would be like having a school board or really any other group of people and just saying, no, it's totally fine that we don't have all the it just sounds ridiculous. It just sounds ridiculous. And for us to say that we have such an issue with electric rates and certainly holding utilities accountable, but also knowing transparent, is this really, you know, is this really because we've had really hot summers and, you know, mild winters that our electric rates are as high as they are? You know, if that's really the case and we want to do that, why wouldn't there be more attention on making sure PIRA is the best of its ability? Why wouldn't we make sure that you've got credible people who are all working together with the same goal in mind? You don't always have to agree, but why wouldn't we make PIRA just one of our biggest priorities?
Yeah, I just don't think the governor appreciates the role of following the law. There's a reason why there was supposed to be five people on PIRA. And he just didn't appreciate it and would have rather left it all in the hands of Chairman Gillette. And you know, we needed balance because you're right. I mean, there were external forces of why our electric bills are higher. But I also would say the governor has pushed policies that was implemented by Chairman Gillette that also exacerbated the increase in those electric bills. So there's a lot of blame to spread around, but ultimately, you know, where I think she crossed the line for me and why I called for the impeachment inquiry was based on the evidence that came out in the past couple of weeks. It appeared as if she misled or lied to the Executive Noms Committee under oath. And, you know, the first and foremost thing is you need to protect the institution. We can't have people coming before legislators and misleading us. And so that's what caused me to sort of draw that line in the sand and say, okay, enough is enough. You know, I'm not happy about it. I don't take pleasure in it. I'm hoping that the governor now will move forward because now we have three vacancies, only two people serving on PIRA. You need at least three members to make a decision. So PIRA is now completely broken and it's under the governor's watch and he needs to address it.
We're chatting with State House Minority Leader Representative Vincent Candelora, and we're talking about PIRA Chairwoman Marissa Gillette and her recent announcement to resign from office effective October 10th. Representative Candelora, supporters, I should say, of Gillette, they say in the last year, this has been a bullying campaign or even a witch hunt on Gillette, specifically waged by the utility companies. Do you agree with that at all?
You know, I really don't. I think the utility companies are publicly traded, so they're obligated to you know, maximize returns and do what's in the best interest of the shareholders. The fact that they've continued to bring lawsuit after lawsuit, they wouldn't do it frivolously. And in fact, it has uncovered a series, I think, of missteps by Chairman Gillette. And I think, frankly, though, the temperature would have been turned down, and I think all this would have gone away had Chairman Gillette just been forthcoming in the beginning. You know, I do think, based on what I've been seeing, there's a high probability that she wrote that op-ed piece and ghost wrote it for the two chairmen of the committee, and also had colluded on some other things that really questioned her impartiality. I think had she just been more forthcoming, produced the information that people were asking for, even myself, people would have backed down. My fundamental concern was just the way that office was run, and we really had one chairman making all the decisions for the entire commission. And that was really, to me, the broken problem that just couldn't be fixed because we had a governor that wouldn't support putting more members on and actually sitting her down and saying, look, you need to act with all of the members, you know, not in isolation. You need to share staff. So I do think that there's a lot of culpability on her side as well, unfortunately.
Who does Marissa Gillette answer to? Who would be her superior?
So they're really technically, you know, I guess they're underneath the Department of Environmental Protection. But this was sort of the bone of contention for Republicans, and we finally separated it back out. It was combined under Malloy. We have now separated it out this year through legislation. They're really supposed to be an independent body. They're more akin to the judicial branch. They're serving as judges and arbiters as opposed to sort of policymakers or an administrative agency head. So these individuals really need to be autonomous. And that's why we were successful in putting a law in place to put that back under its own umbrella.
This is going to sound really crazy, but when was PURA created in Connecticut?
Oh, I think it 1949 pops in my head.
Okay, so it's been around a long time.
It's been around a long, long time. I think it was 2012 or maybe 2011. Governor Malloy combined PURA into DEEP. And I think that was sort of the beginning of the end and sort of led to some of these higher prices, because what's happened now is PURA has begun to implement environmental policies. Mm. And that's why the electric bills are going up, because their focus isn't just on implementing, you know, rates and doing rate reviews. They're sort of advancing public policies that I don't think belongs in that commission. And that's why we think they should be separated. So I would say the whole structure sort of brought it to this end of being completely dysfunctional.
Well, so the reason I was asking that, Representative Candelora, not to put you on the spot, because I did just do a really quick Google search, which I probably could have done in the commercial break. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine.
It says here that PURA has regulated several essential industries and services in Connecticut since it was founded as the Board of Railroad Commissioners back in 1853. So the reason I was bringing that up was certainly not to correct you on the air, because I didn't even know that either. But it was because it feels like PURA became relevant in the last decade, maybe less than that. I don't know if I'm off base with saying that, but I have not seen such a concentration on PURA. Well, I would say, like I said, in the last decade or so, but specifically when Marissa Gillette took on this role as chairwoman, it feels like PURA has been more focused on, and I don't know if it's because of the things you just talked about, that it's become more increasingly involved in things that it wasn't before, because our electric rates, I don't know.
Yeah, I think partly, I'll say, I think she's a victim of her success. You know, she was the one, we actually put in legislation and she implemented it, was to break out the public utility charges so you could see your public benefits charge on your bill. And I think the minute people started seeing that public benefits charge and seeing how much we were paying, that's when the attention shifted to PURA and people started realizing government is responsible for some of these rate increases. It's not just the utility companies. So we started having dialogue. You know, people learned about the moratoriums and paying other people's electric bills and paying for charging stations for electric cars. And that's where I think a lot of the controversy came around, because they started putting PURA under a microscope, where before they were sort of the mad scientists in the back room that nobody understood what they were concocting. That transparency, I think, brought more scrutiny. And at the same time, we had these other issues going on with emails not forthcoming and questions of how it was being run. So it was a little bit of the perfect storm.
I think it's kind of a shame, though, to your point, though, Representative Candelora, that if it was the fact that she was bold and she created, you know, again, more breakouts, more transparency. I know the performance-based regulation, that has really brought a lot of scrutiny towards her, because it was sort of determining whether or not a utility should be able to increase their prices based on their performance and everything. I know that got a lot of backlash as well. It's a shame that that's what potentially led to her demise, if that's the case.
Well, I think she would have survived all of that. I think what led to her demise is that, arguably she may have lied before committees. And I know, my letter came and her resignation came the next day. I think people could read between the lines. And unfortunately, if you have heightened scrutiny, like elected officials do and judges do, you just have to be above board.
Right.
And I think what I was frustrated out of that office is you could not get information. And
too
the
sketchy.
Fact that they were withholding documents and not complying with FOI, they sort of did it to themselves, unfortunately. And they would have been better off just being forthcoming from day one.
So then in your professional opinion, Representative Candelora, what do you do now? Because obviously we have to fill the chairwoman's position. But to our points earlier, we should really be focused on filling that entire body.
Yeah, I've been that's been my sole sort of mission. And I've been talking about it for over 2 years now, asking the governor every opportunity I can to fill those slots. I think short of bringing a lawsuit for some sort of mandamus action to force him to make the appointments, I don't know what else we could do. But we do have a sitting governor right now that does not believe in enforcing the law.
I think that's a problem. I just think, the idea of, like I said, look at any other, I would say entity. And I always think of like a school board or really anything at the local level.
Yeah.
If you don't have every single role filled, you're missing that opportunity of having good dialogue, coming to good decisions, and really having every point of view heard from. And when you're missing, now we only have two people. We're missing three.
That's right.
From PR. And this continues to be one of our biggest issues in Connecticut, the fact that we have an electric problem. And if we can't even fill Pura, it sort of feels like this isn't a priority, which I don't think any resident in Connecticut, regardless of their political affiliation, wants to know that. I don't think anyone wants to know that this isn't a priority, but that's what it feels like.
And I think people need to turn their attention on the governor and ask him, why aren't you making these appointments? We now only have one sitting member. The other member is serving at his will. So he doesn't have really the autonomy to make decisions. He's under the thumb of the governor's and his head is on a swivel. Because he could be fired at any time. So that's not how this body was supposed to work. They're supposed to be appointed. They're supposed to be autonomous. They're not supposed to be operated out of the governor's office. And it's frustrating that these appointments still haven't been made. And I'm hoping, the governor's going to have to make them, because now no decisions could be made on any utilities or gas or water until we get more people on this commission.
Wow. And we certainly have to move fast. As mentioned before, Marissa Gillette has announced her resignation is effective October 10th. So we will certainly see what happens next. And Representative Candelora, always appreciate you giving us the time here on WICC. We'll talk soon.